on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
I had a bad review from somebody who knew me, a high school friend of me kind of person, and they put a one-star review on my book, and I took it so badly that I quit. That was 2012, 2013. If I had carried on going, my career would have taken off so much earlier.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers, no more barriers, no one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome to The Self-Publishing Show with me, James Blatch.
And me, Mark Dawson.
I haven't put my posh camera in for our YouTube viewer, the one person who watches on YouTube. I think about 2,000 people watch on YouTube, but the vast majority of people, they're on their treadmills, Mark. And
yeah, absolutely.
They're on the bed typing. How can people listen to podcasts and write a book? But some people do that. I mean, you listen to raucous music. I can only describe it as raucous music. You can't understand the words. And you write music.
Well,
you write words.
Ideally, although to what I've been listening to today, I had Jean-Michel Jarre today. It was a bit of a partridge.
Love a bit of Jean-Michel Jarre. See, and I do have some crossover.
A tiny bit. Yes.
We've got a road trip together, haven't we, coming up? It's a shame it's not in the car. Well, we've got to drive from Tampa Airport to the hotel.
Taxi?
You can get a taxi, but I'm picking up a wagon.
Okay.
I've got things to do.
That's fair. Yeah, I trust your driving. We are. We record this on Thursday, and we'll be off. You're flying to Miami on Saturday. I'm flying to Boston and avoiding Hurricane Lee, hopefully.
Well, maybe.
That looks okay. We've got some meetings. We're seeing BookBub, and we're seeing Podium, and then we're going to Florida for Nink. And then I've got some very important business in Mexico City. It's definitely business. Definitely. I'm not going to see a concert. Two concerts.
It's research, book research.
It is research. So that's going to be fun.
Now, we had a webinar last night, as we were recording this, but a week ago and a day, on AI ads for authors. And we went through the latest techniques, just really showing people what they can be doing with AI. It was a good audience. Always the difficult thing with these things, if you ever come to do a webinar, any kind of teaching, which is our stock in trade in self-publishing, is pitch. How you pitch is why we have two courses. Why I have Self-Publishing Launchpad and Ads for Authors, because you can't cover all bases and people different learning. And I did know last night there were lots of people coming to me, I'm doing that, I'm using this, I'm using X, and obviously doing exactly the same thing, and people are moving into it. Other people who are just mind blown at the possibilities of what you can do with AI. So I think probably we are still at that stage for most authors of showing them what you can do. And we talked a bit about the ethics and the law, legal side of things, which is a bit fluid. I had a very interesting call with a big photography, I had a stock company during the day, global stock company during the day, who are not anti-AI at all. And in fact, they're thinking of ways of integrating it into their business. They know it's here now and things will not be the same. So we did that last night, but we have another webinar on a more traditional subject, you might describe it as Amazon Ads. And there's the author of the book on Amazon Ads, Ricardo Fiat, is going to be giving that. It's going to be an excellent 5 tips type session on Amazon Ads. I will be listening intently because it's a platform I have got better at in the last year or so, but it's one that's taken me a while to master, surprisingly, because it doesn't look as complex as Facebook ads, but it's the one that I've taken the longest to master. And I'm not saying I mastered it, but get better results from. Now, that is going to take place on September the 27th. So that is next Wednesday, as this goes out, on a Wednesday night at 9 p.m. UK. So that is 4. I hesitate to say that's 4 p.m. because I think it's October maybe where the clocks change. But anyway, it's 9 p.m. UK and you can... We will publicise the times elsewhere in New York and so on. And later, it'll be breakfast time, unfortunately, in Sydney and New Zealand. And if you want to sign up for that, Amazon Ads webinar will be a good one. I promise you, we've not given this one before, so it'll be new material. You can go to selfpublishingformula.com/Amazon webinar. And absolutely. I'll be joining down the line for my last night in Florida. Because I'm doing a little writer's retreat. I'm doing a writer's retreat with the number one author in the world after
Nick. I know you are. Yeah.
It's very exciting. Yep.
Yes.
I love Lucy. I've said it before on the show. So Lucy and Lucy and Tim, we should say, they are definitely a team. They get it right, those two. They work really hard at it. Lucy and Tim are incredibly conscientious people, very ethical people in the way they work as well. Lucy gets herself, probably works too hard. And I think she's probably at that point now. She's dragged around the country and the world. I think she's coming to the UK in October for a couple of days.
Yeah.
On these book tours that go along with the big launch. But the results are stunning. I mean, number one on the New York Times bestseller list, number one on the Amazon.com store, though yesterday she was number two to Stephen King, which is okay, right? You can be number two to Stephen King. And that's the third book in her Knockemout series. I read book one. It was filthy, Mark. Absolutely filthy.
Did you see any of yourself in the book? Is she kind of based any characters on you?
Well, funny enough, there is a Cecilia Blatch in book three.
Right, okay.
So I think I'll now have to read book three. What would a mashup of Cecilia Mecca and James Blatch be like?
Well, it's kind of the Alan Partridge, kind of Italian mafiosi Alan Partridge. There we are.
Tattooed. Sissy's a... There's not an inch left of her skin now.
I won't ask how you know that. And
I should clarify, if you're not following this conversation, we are talking about Lucy Score. I'm not sure if I said her full name. So Lucy Score, look her up on Amazon if you don't know who Lucy is. She's been on this podcast a couple of times. She was a star guest at our show 2 years ago. And she writes contemporary romance and, frankly, is absolutely killing it. Her fans adore her. Her books are hilarious. She's very naturally funny. She's a very funny writer. And the sex was illuminating as well. Not the actual sex, the sex I read about in her book. I can be funny too.
Well, slightly creepy, but yeah, that's...
She and Tim listen to this podcast.
Oh, my God.
When I talk about... Lucy scoring sex, I'm aware that she's potentially about to drive off the road.
Yes, exactly.
Is a very expensive car. I mean, she deserves that car on the TikTok with the Mercedes. Mercedes. Have you seen that TikTok? Mercedes.
I don't do TikTok. Yeah.
It's anyway. Very good. It's a very good week for her, and we're excited, and I feel proud of what she does, she and Tim do together. Okay, so Amazon Ads webinar, getting back to where we are circling back. If you want to be the next Lucy Score, you do need to conquer that platform, and that is going to be on the 27th of September, Wednesday night, with Mark and Ricardo Fayette. And selfpublishingformula.com/Amazon webinar is where you need to go to sign up. Okay, we should mention that another important platform that you need to get on to catch the success train is Mark Dawson's Ads for Authors course. That was a good segue. Don't start saying seek again.
Don't worry.
The Ads for Authors course, which is the platform that Lucy Score herself attributes, at least in part, to her early success. And our interviewee today, Laura Burton, out in the middle of this interview, she's doing brilliantly, and she suddenly said it was Mark Dawson's course that got me on this train. And so it is a course. It's got me into profit with my books. It's got Fuse Books into profit as well. This is the secret sauce, and Mark and I have worked incredibly hard on this course, Mark in particular, making it a step-by-step, easy course to follow, which I think has been its secret, really, when you meet authors. They say, you know, some people watch it and think, yeah, I know most of that, but that's a good tip. Other authors follow it step by step. They pause, do it. And it's those authors who've then seen success, which has been brilliant, because they're not the people who naturally would have perhaps been able to untangle the secrets themselves. So that's available. And you can go to selfpublishingformula.com/ads-for-authors to check out everything that's in the course and see if it's going to be suitable for you. Open for another week or so, I think, at the time of recording.
Yes, exactly. Yes, definitely nice to see lots of people signing up, and we fully expect, it always happens, we'll get someone emailing saying things are starting to happen and they're starting to see their book sales, which is the best thing about doing this, is seeing people. I still remember you interviewing Lucy and Tim for the first time, and you know, in Pennsylvania, I think it was, isn't it? And mm-hmm. And they're doing very well then, but I mean, they're doing unbelievably well now. So yeah. It's and it isn't as if those are the only the two of them are the only people who've done well with the course. There have been, you know, we've had what, over how would you say it's been 10,000 people
over 10,000 students
over 10,000 students of the course, and so we've had hundreds of success stories from authors doing as well on the one hand as Lucy, and then on the other side just, you know, starting to find readers that they didn't think was possible. And that's, you know, I remember getting my first sale to someone I didn't know, first email from someone, first sign up. Those are really important steps along the way, and they feel pretty amazing, especially when you've been working hard potentially for years on your own, slogging away, not getting any kind of recognition, never seeing anyone buy your books. You know, it's cool. Actually, that reminds me, I was in Waterstones. I think I put this in the Facebook group, or maybe I didn't. I was in Waterstones a couple of weeks ago, and they've sold 1,200 copies of Atticus. I think I did mention this. So it's his biggest selling book in the Waterstones in Salisbury. So yeah, not a great, not an amazing feat, but, you know, pretty good. And someone came up to me and asked me to sign the book for them whilst I was in the store, which was like, oh, that's has happened a few times now, but it's still really nice to the bookseller actually brought her over and said, oh, this is the author. Would you like him to sign it? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And she was shaking. She was really nervous. That's kind of, that was, yeah, to be nervous about coming and ask me for an autograph. It's ridiculous. But yeah, really lovely.
I've signed my book a couple of times, but the first one was Chris Burnett, who you might remember, Jodie Burnett's husband, who's a former US Marine pilot.
I do remember that, yes. Didn't I send him over and tell him to make a big fuss of you?
No, he did it entirely of his own volition.
Oh, I'm giving it away now. Shit.
Unbelievable.
I love the story now.
So there is a connection between Chris and Jodie Burnett, who are friends of the show, and I get on very well with the pair of them. I love my time nattering with the two of them. And last time I did that was in sunny Mallorca at a mastermind organised by Craig Martell. And also there was Laura Burton and her husband, who are part of the team publishing her books. And chatting to Laura led us to make sure that we got her on the podcast. She needs to be on this podcast. So Laura's one of these people, a real asset to the community. Not just does she do things well, and she examines enthusiastically new avenues, new areas. It's direct selling at the moment. She's very big on that. She then shares everything with people. So if you're in the 20 books group and our books, you'll see her sharing what she's learned and how she's getting on. You'll hear from the interview that she's a born writer, sort of writing at the age of 5 onwards. But has, she found her success, I shall say it again, when she took Mark Dawson's Ad for Authors course, but everything else is down to her, and her writing is fantastic. She has, again, very loyal fans. So let's hear from Laura Burton, and then Mark and I will be back for even more banter at the end of the interview.
This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Laura Burton, welcome to The Self-Publishing Show. How much fun is this to have you on here?
So fun. I can't wait for this. I've been manifesting this interview for a while, actually.
Well, there you go. Well, we're going to find all about your meteoric rise up the echelons of both romance, and you also write dark fairy tale. Is that right? No, I forgot that wrong.
Yes, I write sweet fairy tales under my pen name, and then my Athena Rose pen name is Dark Fairy Tales.
There you go. Oh, both sides of the mirror.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, that's quite an interesting thing to start off with. Why don't we start with a bit about you and your journey into writing.
Okay, well, the thing I tell people a lot is that I've been writing since I was 5 years old, and I used to make my own little books. When I was 5, I decided I was going to make my own little books, put a little barcode on the back, and I would sell them to my family. So technically, I've been self-publishing for about 30 years now. But I've done everything. So when I was a teenager, I was doing fan fiction, and I sent proposals off to agents and to publishers. I'd written 6 books by the time I was 14. And then I went into all sorts of different things.
6 novels by the time you were 14?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then... I tried the whole trad publishing thing. And actually, funny story, William Nicholson saved my bacon, because I was going to sign with a publisher that was not a publisher. It was one of those where we'll publish your book if you give us all this money. And I was on a Q&A call with William Nicholson and he was like, don't do it. Like, that's not a real publisher. And I was only 14 at the time. So, you know, so yeah, I've been publishing full time since 2019. And yeah, I write billionaires, sweet rom-coms, fairy tale retellings. And then I have a new pen name, Athena Rose, because I wanted to write dark pirate romance because I love Pirates of the Caribbean and Game of Thrones. And why not? So,
yes. Yeah. Well, I'm interested to hear how that's gone, because I was told once that lots of people want to write romance, pirate romance, but it doesn't, for some reason, do well in markets. But we'll find out. Hold that thought. So you started really with romance then. So obviously a prolific reader and writer, I'm guessing, growing up, and by the sounds of it, with that. And when did you, so what year was your first proper self-published book? Not the five-year-old one.
Well, I self-published on a website called blurb.com in 2009. Okay. And that was before I knew about ebooks. So it was just paperbacks. I think I sold 25, no idea who to, maybe probably mostly my mum. And then I learned about Amazon CreateSpace in 2012, and I published a couple of books then. And then this is my, like, if there's one lesson that people take from this whole interview, it's this: don't be like me. So I had a bad review from somebody who knew me. And it was like a high school frenemy kind of person. And they put a one-star review on my book. And I took it so badly that I quit. And yeah, if I, can you imagine if I continued, that was 2012, 2013. If I had carried on going, my career would have taken off so much earlier. But I quit. I quit for about 5 years. I came back 2018 at the end of the year. That was tricky.
People can be so mean. I don't understand why people are so mean. There's that, wasn't it? I think it was Lady Gaga. Someone, when she was a high school student, someone started a Facebook group saying she will never be famous. And so there's a screen grab of it. I can't remember her real name, but it says so-and-so will never be famous, because they knew she wanted to be, and she's the real deal and dominates the world. So I hope she's got that framed somewhere in her house. And that person is now working in Target. Or Walmart, because that's Schadenfreude is how I operate. Yes, so you did self-publish, and Billionaire Romance, I think, is what I know you for, but you've obviously, I think the other things are later, but Billionaire Romance, was that a genre that you liked reading, you liked the idea of, or did you, was there a commercial element to you choosing it?
Yeah, it was definitely a two-pronged approach. So first off, I'd written a series that was a little bit like a Forrest Gump, Life is Like a Box of Chocolates, because I thought, I'll write a series that's like, one is a suspense and one is like a sweet romance and then one is like a fantasy. Yeah. And I was like, people could just get the series and choose what they... Yes. It was the worst thing we could have done.
Like the beginning of a presentation. Here's not what to do. And but then that's the thing about self-publishing authors. We tend to start by ourselves, don't we? You don't talk to anyone else. You're just by yourself thinking, oh, this would be a good idea. And then the first conversation you have in a room full of other authors, you learn a huge amount in that first 30 seconds.
Absolutely. I learned about writing to market, and I learned that either from being in the SPS community group or 20 Books to 50K. I can't remember which one, but it was 2019 that I started to go into the writing spheres and seeing all what everyone else was doing, because I've been on the scene for many years, but I hadn't been in like the community, and I've learned so much. And when I learned about writing to market, that's when Billionaires came on the sort of horizon. And it was mainly because I was at the time reading like episodic like chapters, like on my phone, because as a busy mum I didn't have a lot of time for actually reading novels, and a lot of those stories were like the rich billionaire, and I was like, I could write those stories because they're very fun and they do cross over quite well into like fairy tale retellings, because billionaires are actually just contemporary fairy tale retellings. So like Cinderella, for example, and Beauty and the Beast, that there's always like the rich man and the poor girl. So that's kind of just an extension of that. So Yeah, Billionaires, I wrote two books, and then I discovered the Ads for Authors course by you guys. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try and sell these books because they're written to market. Everyone is telling me that if you write to market, you're going to sell loads of books. So I put loads of money into Facebook ads. I hadn't done the course at that time. I was like, I'm just going to try and do Facebook ads. And I spent hundreds of pounds just throwing spaghetti at the wall, not knowing what I was doing. Even though I had trawled the internet, I went and looked at all of the free like videos I could find. Nothing. It came up with, I just had no sales. It was awful. I think I was making about $40 to $80 a month at that point. And so I saw the Ads for Authors course and I thought, I'm going to invest in myself and I'm going to invest in my business. I'm going to stop looking at myself as just an author that gets paid royalties. You know, how would I act if I was actually a publisher? And I thought, I'm going to invest in myself. So I bought the Ads for Authors course. And then I think it took me a week to go through all the material because there's a lot in there. And I followed it to a T. And I was nervous because it was pricey at the time. It's like a brand new author with hardly any books on a backlist. But I tell you, within a couple of weeks, I'd already earned from profit. I'd earned the feedback from the course.
Wow.
And then I went from earning $40 to $80 a month to solid four figures profit a month, within 4 weeks.
Wow.
On two books.
That's a good course.
It is a good course.
We should tell people about it. Oh, yeah, we are. That is amazing, Laura. But so having the product is one thing, but marketing obviously is the other half of the equation. I think you hit the nail on the head, and it's something Mark says all the time about treating it as a business is like the number one tip you give to people. It's not, we're very emotionally attached to our writing. We write emotionally. It's an artistic thing. It's not a business thing that when we're writing. But the other half of the day, they may as well be little black widgets that go into Mercedes or something. You are then trying to find the market for them and trying to make sure the product matches the market and your advertising matches that. And I'm guessing you've got a lot of that right to have shifted those books. So you must have got into kind of the image selection and the copy, which is kind of the killer bites for Facebook ads.
Yeah, I've definitely worked on that. I mean, my previous business was I was working in direct sales. So I knew a little bit about writing ad copy and selling, but I was selling makeup. So I thought, oh, how do you sell books? Like I can sell makeup, but how does it transition to books? So I had some of the building blocks. I already knew, what is a good hook? You know, call to actions are important. And I think it's just built on itself over the years. So I've made a lot of mistakes, but that's where my growth has come, because every time I do something and I'm like, oh, that didn't work out, it helps me pivot and do something else and learn and grow. The course really helped me to be very, disciplined. So there was an Excel sheet that you could download that mm-hmm. Mark had done, where you could work out. So I think what a lot of authors do is they start doing ads and then they look at their ads and they look at the immediate return mm-hmm. and they think, have I made money today? Have I made money today? What have I done today? But what Mark taught me was that you need to calculate what your read through is. You need to calculate how much money you're going to get per sale, what a sale is worth. And that really helped me take a step back and look at, okay, what are the real figures and what are the figures now and what's the potential? And it helps you to make better business decisions and not be so, oh, I'm going to turn that ad off because it's not working. Pirates, though, I was making so much money on just one book. That was a complete...
Really?
That was a game changer. So
Pirates.
Let me tell you something. Pirates. So when I told my friends that I wanted to write a pirate romance, they said to me, Laura, you're going to destroy your career. You're not going to sell any pirate romance doesn't sell. And I was I don't care. Pirates of the Caribbean came out 20 years ago. I love Pirates of the Caribbean. And they were right, because if you go onto Amazon, I mean, it's a different story now, but that's part of my thing. Last year, if you went onto Amazon and you look up pirate romance books, it's all bodice rippers, very homemade looking covers, extremely spicy stories. And there wasn't like the fantasy adventure element that I was looking for. So I thought, I'm just going to pitch this on TikTok. And I did this goofy dance. And I just said, like, imagine that you are engaged to a prince, but your father sells your dowry to your father gambles away your dowry and sells you to a pirate captain. So at your engagement ball, pirates storm the castle and they take you and you're forced to marry this pirate. He's cold and ruthless. So you run away, but then you're captured by enemy pirates. Then your pirate husband shows up and he roars, touch my wife and I'll destroy you all. And then I just whack on this cover of this book. And I was like, would you read it? And it was like, I had 700,000 views within like a couple of weeks. So many thousands of comments of people saying, yes, I'll read it. Like, where can I read it? So, and then I was like quickly putting up the pre-order. So I was like, oh, okay. And I got about 400 pre-orders in a week.
So you put the pre-order up before you'd written a word of this book?
Yeah.
Wow. You and I are very different people, Laura. I know that. But that is amazing. But that's pure marketing. That's jumping on what you've got there. You've built up this bandwagon. I mean, that, funny you say, touch my wife. And that's because I've just interviewed Rosalie. I don't think these interviews will go close to each other. So it may have been a few weeks ago. From the audience point of view, but she says she talked about some of those tropes, particularly in dark romance, and that touch her and I'll kill you is one of them, isn't it? It's one of those sort of hooks that needs to appear. So yeah, but it works perfectly in pirate land.
Well, see, I think that's where I got it right. So I did a lot of research on TikTok and I was looking at, because the only thing that's sort of similar to pirate romance was mafia romance, which is dark romance. And there's a lot of those tropes in there, touch her and I'll kill you kind of thing. So I put that in my pirate romance to make sure that the dark romance readers would be like, oh, I know that. Oh, I like that. And then they'll keep reading and... yeah, I don't know. Part of it might have been luck, but several times my videos would take off on TikTok, and I think I hit the top 400 in Amazon on that book, and it made me a lot of money. And on one book, it blows my mind.
Wow. So you wrote another one?
Yes, I did. And that's where another story comes in, because I'm autistic, so I take things extremely literally. And in the Amazon categories, it said, does this contain mature content? And I thought, well, there's a scene where Blackbeard gets cut in two and some people get like decapitated, and that is definitely mature content. So I tick the box to say, yes, it's mature content.
That was before the most recent changes, was it?
It was probably around the same time. I don't know where. It was April. So I don't know when the changes happened, but something weird happened. I released my book and crickets.
Yeah.
I was like, where is everybody? I've had 20,000 readers go through book one. Where is it? I had the initial pre-orders, of course, but most of my readers were in KU. So I'm like, hello. And it was not being seen. And then I do TikToks and I would get all these comments where people were saying, I can't find it. Like, I've searched and I can't find the book. And I was just naively thinking that maybe they were confused.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, bless them. They don't know where it is. I don't know. And then in Mallorca, I told everyone, where I was like, I'm having this problem. This new launch isn't working. They were like, did you tick the mature content thing? I was like, yes, I did. And they were like,
what are you doing?
You're in
Laura?
The dungeon now.
You are.
I didn't realize that mature content means like erotica. Like, it's not.
we did talk about, you and I have just been in Mallorca in a mastermind, lots of high earning authors talking about tactics, and there was a lot of discussion about this. So they have modified this, obviously, this declaration of content. And on the face of it, you know, we market romance books as well, and they've got sex scenes in them. So are these suitable for children? Well, not really, but what do they mean by mature content? And we don't have a distinct answer from Amazon at the moment. We may never get one, But I think the consensus is don't tick this unless you are doing, unless your book is basically pornography in writing, like the main purpose is the sex. If there's a story there, don't tick that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, these stories have some spice in them, but it's only after they're married and it's like a very kind of poetic language. It's not that graphic, you know.
It's like, a bit of fondness, but, you know, it's more horrible things happen to people in parts of the Caribbean, right? But it's still a PG or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's
a 12.
True.
Maybe it's a 12.
I took it too literally.
Yes.
I thought, oh, no, the violence, it's too mature.
But you learned that lesson. You unticked that box. And was it an immediate...
Yes.
Visibility, yeah.
It was. Overnight, pretty much overnight, I started to get sales and I had taken it out of KU because I was like, fine, if you don't want to read my book, I'm going to just take it out of KU. So then I was scrambling to take it down from the wide platform. So I put it back into KU and it's literally overnight of just thousands of page reads every day. I was like, okay, there you are. Hello.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's true. I thought the dungeon was just like a myth. But, you know, for me, there was a big difference when I unchecked that box.
You were in the sex dungeon.
Hmm.
That's where you ended up.
I did a video on TikTok and I was like, I'm going to harness this because I love TikTok. And I was like, I'm going to harness this. And I just had a picture of me like this, like cringing. And I was like, when you find out that your book was put in the dungeon on Amazon and it just like loads of people were like, oh my goodness, what is it? I want to read it. So I was like, there you go.
Yes, I like it. Good thinking.
You're going to make lemonade from your lemons,
yes,
don't you?
There you go. So these are your latest books, aren't they? The pirate ones. Just tell us a bit. So are you still writing The Billionaire? Is that still your main income?
No. Well, okay. Complicated. So I was a couple of, maybe 6 months or so, I realized I was stuck in this cycle where all of the money I was earning was from my front list and I wasn't scaling up my income the way I wanted to. So last year I did 6 figures and I was really happy with that, but I felt like to level up again, I was just stuck in this cycle of just write one more book, just write one more book. But my income never increased. And I thought there has to be a better way. And when I looked at my numbers, I realized that my backlist wasn't selling. People weren't reading it. So I thought, okay, well, how can I get my backlist to make me some money? And I thought, well, if no one is reading it in KU anyway, I'll just take the series, which was my billionaires, I'll take it wide and see if the wide platform works. And then I started a Shopify store and that was a lot of work, not something I completely recommend to anyone, but I started to sell the billionaires in a bundle and called it the Ultimate Billionaire Bundle. And it sells a lot now, like my income has shot up. Like even from like, how long has it been since Mallorca? 2 weeks. I think I did like 20 grand last month. This month I'm on target to make about 50.
Wow.
And it's like, so that's like I've already done.
Just tell us about the Shopify setup. How exactly does that work?
Okay, so it integrates with BookFunnel. So imagine that you're sharing your reader magnet. It's just that kind of same idea, but people buy your bundle. The reason why I put it in a bundle is it's a higher price point because conversion ads on Facebook are a lot more pricey than the cost per click ads. But you want the conversion ads because the cost per click ads don't seem to drive people who are going to buy necessarily direct. And that's the biggest challenge with Shopify is you have to be able to bring in that traffic and you've got to bring in traffic who are okay with not buying through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So conversion ads are useful. I started it May 25th this year. I've already done, I think last time I checked, $17,000 since the end of May, just on Shopify.
Wow.
And the bundles help because then you can have add-ons. And then I had my ultimate rom-com bundle. And then I had the ultimate fairy tale bundle. And what I was finding was that people who come to your Shopify store are like people who go onto any bookstore and they will buy your books in different genres, which totally didn't happen when over in Amazon. Like people would read Billionaire, they wouldn't read rom-com. And yet on my Shopify store, people buy just everything. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where can people, I had a look at your Shopify store when we were in Spain. Where can people find it?
It's called lauraburtonauthor.com. And I have my audiobooks up there. I have ebooks up there. And I have just done a deal with a printer in California who are going to make foil cover editions of my paperbacks. The difference is they're not print on demand. So I had to, it was a big investment, but they will store them in their warehouse and they'll fulfill them for me. Oh, and wow. They integrate with Shopify too. Wow. So people, now I can do the ultimate billionaire paperback bundle and sell that for like, you know, $100.
How many of those have you printed and how many do you need to sell to break even?
You'd have to ask my husband about the numbers. All I know is that we got the price down really well because we're buying a lot of books. But you know, you're talking multiple five figures to invest in getting that kind of stock put in. But it's exciting because so many people are asking for the paperbacks in my messages and my ads. So I'm like, okay, let's get the paperbacks up.
And Laura, do you think this is TikTok that's driving a lot of this attention, particularly because TikTok's very good for print sales? It seems to drive print sales more than ebooks.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Every time I do post TikToks and they go well, I sell lots of paperbacks and all on Amazon. So I don't have any paperbacks on my store yet and I don't find a lot of traffic coming to my store. So now I'm not so worried about that. Like, I have 5 TikTok accounts and I have about 150,000 followers across the different TikTok accounts, varying levels. And I find that there's very little difference between my account that has 80,000 and my account that has 4,000. It doesn't matter. And people don't necessarily just click on your link. They just immediately go, it's like they're trained. They go, okay, that's what the title is. They go to Amazon or they go to Barnes & Noble and they grab the paperback. Wow. Or they pick it up in KU.
Yeah.
So I'm not so worried about having a link in my bio now. So like anyone who's looking at thinking, oh, I can't even get started with TikTok. It's saturated. Like I'll never get the followers. Followers don't matter. It doesn't affect your reach. I've had videos reach 5 million views on an account that had like 1,000 followers. You know, I find it a very powerful tool and I'm excited that I'll have paperbacks on my store because I'm hoping that those paperback people might come to my store when they know that there's special edition foil covers because they love the foil covers on TikTok. Right.
Foil covers are a thing. Yeah, this is another takeaway from my previous interview, actually, that most social media platform is built around your followers, but TikTok isn't. Mm. TikTok's reach is the For You, it's called the For You page. It's the algorithm sending out to people it thinks is going to be interested in your content. And actually, if you have a post take off, you'll find 99% is For You page, less than 1% of your followers. So it really is a different mentality, different way of thinking. And it's the best algorithm for reaching new people in all the social media platforms, I would say.
Yes, it is. And you also need to be aware that with the changes they've made this year, they are very much leaning towards SEO. So you need to really make sure that your heading is in line with what it is that you are showcasing. You need to make sure that it's also in line. Like everything needs to be congruent. So if you're doing a video about a single dad billionaire romance or something, you've got to make sure that it's in your ad copy. You've got to make sure that it looks like what someone who's looking for that would imagine. You've got to make sure that in the heading and you've got to make sure your hashtags, that all of it needs to fit together so that TikTok can categorize you, because at the top of the screen, if you're looking at a video on TikTok, there's a little search bar. And if it says like single dad billionaire or something, you know that you've done the right thing and you've got yourself categorized and you're going to be seen. If it says find related content or something like that, it's like a random generic thing. It means that TikTok doesn't know where to show you. And that means that that video is very unlikely to get much traction. And then I also find that as long as you make sure that everything lines up, you can have only 200, 300 views, but it will still convert to sales because you're finding the right people. So it's quality over quantity. And then if you go viral, that's just a bonus.
Yeah. And what sort of TikTok posts are you finding and working at the moment? Are you doing much dancing? Like you did that silly pirate dance?
A little bit. It's exhausting. So I can't can't do that very often. I honestly had to take a lie down after that dance. TikTok definitely responds to energy. So whatever gives you, and I know this sounds woo-woo, I don't even know how this works, but my videos that do the best, whether it's a page flip and you don't even see me, or stock images and I put ad copy on, or it's me dancing, or it's just me lip syncing. If I have a lot of enthusiasm while I'm making it, it is guaranteed to do well. If I am just like, kind of just like, oh, I just got to get another TikTok app, generally it just doesn't, it doesn't go anywhere. It's like they know.
Interesting. Yeah.
So
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I can, yeah, can
they
imagine.
All work for me. They all work. You can have it where it's just music and you take a trending sound and you can do like, you change, as long as you change position every 2 to 3 seconds, then that can be really powerful. The strength is in the ad copy. And that's why I work really hard to work on my ad copy, because you can have a very pretty video, but if you don't hook people in with your story and make them desperate to read your book immediately, they'll just go, oh, that's a nice video. They might save it, but then they won't go back to, okay, back to it.
And is that the same with your Facebook ads, your focus on hooks? And
yes, and I repurpose my TikToks and I use them on Facebook, and
oh, you do?
It gets a much cheaper cost per click, cheaper conversions. And I just make sure I go into Canva and that I use audio that's not copyright. So Canva have a whole bunch of their own audios. So like the pirate dance, for example, I'm running that cost per click to Amazon because it's in KU. I have for the last 4 days been getting 4p wow, per click.
Wow.
Like,
and that's converting.
For 4 days.
And that's
as well.
Converting as well.
Yeah, I'm only spending £20 a day, making 100 back.
Okay.
A day.
That sounds like a good deal.
It's like,
yeah.
4p per click. More of that, please. But yeah, videos definitely are cheaper.
And so what sort of copy, let's think about Facebook ads for the moment, what sort of copy do you find is working?
It depends on genre. So if it is my billionaire romance, I lean into the trope. So I will say something like, I stupidly signed a contract to be married to my grumpy boss for 365 days. The rules were simple, no intimacy and a clean break at the end. But one day he finds me crying in the shower and I'm still wearing my wedding dress, my gown, and he walks in and he shuts the water off and carries me to the bed. And then he growls, tell me the person who did this to you and I'll make sure it never happens again.
Oh, I like that.
Fairy tales, you're in.
Yeah.
with fairy tales, we don't go with the trope. We go with the characters. So the strongest ones are, imagine the Little Mermaid is engaged to the prince, but she's secretly in love with Captain Hook. And I keep it very simple. Or I say, what if Belle was the Beast? And I just keep it really simple. It's just the twist, you know. And then with my pirate one, it's, you know, the kind of similar to the billionaire where it's more in the scenes. I do have ads where I have an excerpt. Just I go into the Kindle app and, you know, you can look at popular highlights to see what people,
yes,
who are reading your book are sort of like emotionally invested in, or they're like, oh, that. And it's very surprising what they love, like some of the scenes. I'm like, oh, you like that? Okay. And then I'll put that excerpt in an ad and it seems to do well. So it kind of depends. I do a bit of everything, really.
Yeah. I must look up my highlights. I'm always thinking about, particularly for TikTok, actually using some quotes over some moody imagery from my Cold War kind of stuff. But I never know which quotes to go for. But That's a fast, yeah, track, isn't it, to how the readers they find. I do occasionally glance at them. I must take note. You're doing so well, Laura, and you are full of energy. So I can see why TikTok generally likes you, because the algorithm spots that energy. What's next for you? I think pirates is your thing at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, and that was another thing at that conference that we were at. Somebody said that your career really takes off when you stumble upon that one thing that you really love to write, and it happens to also work for the market. I love writing. I wrote 16 rom-coms, loved them. And I will occasionally write one as like a palate cleanser. And I loved the fairy tale retellings. They're very much for like teenagers and YA, but oh my goodness, my pirates, my soul lights on fire when I think about this series. So I know I'm kind of on the right track when it comes to that. And it's just so easy to sell because I love it so much. And I think that really helps. What's next is that we are doing a lot of special edition foil covers for all of the books, which will then hopefully maximize our sales on Shopify. I've been growing my customer list so that I can create lookalike audiences and then send more people to my store who have already purchased from me, which is exciting because I've just reached 1,400 customers.
Wow. That's the thing about Shopify. You get your, what's the plugin people use with Shopify? Coolio, what's it called? There's a mailing list plugin, isn't there, people use with Shopify?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, this is the thing. I can never remember the name either. It is Klaviyo.
Klaviyo, that's it.
But I fondly refer to it as Flavio, my Italian boyfriend.
Because
I can never remember the name.
There you go.
But yes.
But Klaviyo.
It's a good...
Yeah,
it's a good tool. It gets your abandoned checkout. So if somebody looks at your bundle, puts it in the car, and then they walk away, then good old Klaviyo will send them an email and be like, oh, you forgot something. And then you can send them another email that will say, have a cheeky offer and I'll give them a little discount to kind of sweeten the deal. And that can draw some people back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's gold dust. People who have actually parted with cash for your products in the past, using them again or lookalikes of them is really good. So direct selling and pirates perhaps are the two things that are really taking off for you at the moment.
Well, this is the thing. It's a hybrid approach because pirates I've put back into KU because I couldn't get them to be profitable on my Shopify store. And that was because it was only two books.
Mm.
So I couldn't have a bundle that was big enough. My price points are $14.99 for my billionaire bundle.
How many books
is
that?
And then I have big six.
Okay.
And then I have 12 rom-coms for $25.99. And then I sell six fairy tale retellings for $25.99.
Right.
And then commonly people are buying the audiobook bundle as an add-on. So they'll buy the ebook and the audiobook bundle and they'll get them for $31.99.
Wow.
So every time I get a conversion, it's you can afford to have the pricier ads running because conversion ads on Facebook, they don't let you pay per click. You have to pay per impression. So you need to have a really strong game when it comes to your ad copy and your creative to get that click-through rate up. Otherwise, you're just going to be bleeding money. But when you have higher price points, you can kind of afford to.
Yeah, indeed. The other thing we talked about a lot in Mallorca was AI. Are you using any of this in your marketing side of things?
Yes, I'm using AI a lot. I actually just finished recording a class because so many people were asking me about like, Laura, how can you remind me how you make AI make you a table and like how it makes you schedules and like how it makes you do this and how it makes you analyze? And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do a class. I'm going to throw it up on my Shopify store. So when people go on my store, if they click on authors, there's a bunch of different classes that I will have on there. They're just, just for people to learn. But I love using ChatGPT and I use PseudoWrite. Now, I don't use them to write my books. That's an important thing to say.
Yes.
I use them to level up. So I go into ChatGPT, for example. Maybe I want to sell a book that I wrote maybe 3 years ago and I don't really remember much about it, right? It's a real pain point. And we haven't got a lot of time to be like, oh, I've got to read this book again and remember like who's in it and everything. Well, you can feed your book into ChatGPT and you can say, analyze this book and give me a comprehensive breakdown of each character, their backgrounds, what they look like, their relationships, their character arcs, their likes, their wants, their wishes, and the whole story. And it will do that for you.
Wow.
You will also be able to put in a chapter if you want to work in progress. So say I'm writing one of my rom-coms and I write in the style of Sophie Kinsella. I can put in a chapter and I can say, hey, ChatGPT, can you pretend that you're Sophie Kinsella and give me tangible feedback and critique this chapter and help me make it better or increase the flow or whatever. And you can even say, critique this as if you are an editor with 30 plus years experience, and it will give you points. And it's very sweet. It will start by saying like how amazing it is, and then it will give you like the points that are useful, and then it'll be like, but overall it's amazing.
The old critical sandwich.
Sandwich.
Yeah. Yes. Even ChatGPT is like that. Yes. That is amazing. And I know it's a bit of a controversial area, but there's no doubt that the efficiencies that people are making and you say leveling up, just doing what you're doing, but doing it better with more market penetration as a result of what you're doing and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what the best use of AI. And whether, you know, some people will resist for a while, but it's going to be built into all the existing tools we're using anyway. So you may as well be first on board now, I think.
It's just another tool in the toolbox. And I find it really helpful. Like, a lot of authors have ADHD, struggle with time management. You can just go into ChatGPT and be like, hey, I need to get these tasks done today. I'm feeling very overwhelmed. Can you put it into a clear and concise schedule for me and put in breaks for exercise and some spontaneity and put it in a nice little table for me? And it will do all of that for you within seconds.
Great.
So it saves you. It just saves you time, and it will help you level up. And then, if you have writer's block and you don't know what to do next, you can always put in your last few paragraphs, and you can say, "Hey, keep writing this." And it will be rubbish, but it will sometimes like just make you go, "Oh yeah, okay, now I know where to go next."
Yeah.
Or sometimes you don't want to write a transition scene, so you're like, you know, write a scene where this person is walking to the bus stop or something, and again, it won't come up with a final result of you being like, oh, great, I'm going to put that in my book. But it can be a way to give you that creative spark to keep you going so you don't stumble on those moments where you're like, oh, I'm just going to leave my manuscript because I can't write that right now.
And we should say again, this is not AI writing your book. This is AI taking away. Someone said this, a great phrase in Mallorca. It's taking away the blank page. Where you've just got a bit stuck, and you want to sound out to somebody else. You could go to the coffee shop and have a chat with a writer friend, and they'll give you some feedback. You go, yeah, I've got it. I'm going to carry on now. It's that. That's what AI is doing here. It's not writing your book for you before anyone starts getting on that.
And it's giving you advice on how you can improve. You can say, I want more dramatic tension, or is the pacing too fast? It can give you great feedback. And it's just having that 24/7 where if you're writing at 3 a.m, you can't talk to anyone and you're like, you just want some feedback. It can give you some very useful information. So
we should definitely, before we finish, mention your other half, who is the other half of your business.
Yes. Ross is amazing. He's my numbers guy and he works in tech. He does a lot of like systems analysis and he dives deep into the numbers and he's able to see what books are trending. He can see where the profit margins are. He's also working with the printer in California and he makes negotiations and talking about pricing and everything. And he's also very supportive of me. We are a very busy family and he helps by just giving me that permission to say, no, you work on this. Like, for a long time, this has been an expensive hobby. And it's only really this year that now it's becoming where I could retire him. So, you know, we're on target to do probably six figures a month by September.
Wow.
All goes to plan.
That is amazing. And also you mentioned, I don't know if this is a secret, we can cut it if it is, but you did mention in a question in Mallorca that you're thinking about moving to the States.
Yes, that was another thing. So last year I said I wanted to be a six-figure author and I wanted to move my family to Arizona and did six figures. And this year, so in 2 weeks' time, we're actually going to Arizona and we're looking at houses.
Wow.
So
Scottsdale or Phoenix?
We're looking at Gilbert, Queen Creek, that kind of Phoenix area.
Okay.
But yeah, like it's happening. We're doing the visa application at the moment. And
wow.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It is.
It's exciting. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous place. I've spent a bit of time in Phoenix the last few years and we had an Airbnb there in Scottsdale for best part of a week at the end of a family time last summer. And I was saying to Joe, I mean, it is oppressively hot in the summer. We were there in July and it was very hot. But the autumn and spring has just got, the winter is gorgeous in that part of the world. And it goes on forever, these blue skies. And and it's a famous, I think it's the fastest growing city in the States, Phoenix. It's a place where people who can't no longer afford to buy a shoebox in California are moving out there and setting up a working from home business.
Yeah, it has a very strong tech presence. So that's good for my husband and his work as well. And also my mum lives with us and she is sort of, poor thing, withering away with arthritis and not doing well in this climate at all. No. And the doctors just said, move somewhere hot. Like, she'll be a different person. So I kind of took them literally.
Hot, hot and dry, not somewhere where the damp permeates every aspect of your body. Okay, Laura, fantastic. Well done. I'm so excited for you. A big six-figure month, a month, year for you coming up. We're going to hold you to that, but I'm sure you'll make it. I guess we'll see you in the autumn, probably in November. I think this interview is going to go out September time, something like that. But we'll see you, I think, in November in Vegas. Is that right?
Yeah, should be there. I should be living there.
Yes.
Well, not in Vegas.
You could just go on your bike and cycle probably from Phoenix. It's probably quite close.
Right.
I have driven it. It was 5 hours, I think, once. But
Imagine cycling across Death Valley?
Or just have a bottle. Make sure you got a bottle of water, maybe. Everything will be fine. And watch out for Black Widows. Excellent. Laura, thank you. Congratulations to you and Ross. Brilliant to have you on the show. And let's stay in touch.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Great banter and a great interview with Laura, who is, I think she's trying to move to the States. I think they're going to move to Phoenix. I told my wife I'm going to move to Phoenix. I mean, I said the family is welcome, but I was so fed up with the grey weather and we had such a miserable summer. I want to go where it's blue skies and the winter in that part of the world would be beautiful, I think. So I'll go and live with Laura and her husband. I'm sure they'll be fine.
Check out with them. Might have a...
Well, you know.
Annoying house guests they can't get rid of.
I'll say I'm just going to visit and surreptitiously put my suitcase down. Yeah. But anyway, I'm feeling quite buoyed because we're off to sunny climes tomorrow. Saturday for me, and I can't wait to feel a bit of heat. I do crave it. I've got a friend as well like this, and I think there is a physiological mental health link to.
Oh yeah, I think that's been proven. Yeah, absolutely. The older you get.
Yes, maybe we'll retire by the sea. Look, I want to say a huge thank you to Laura for coming on to the show. Look forward to seeing her soon. She might be at NINC, I'm not sure, but we'll certainly see her, I'm sure, at 20 books. So don't forget to sign up for our Amazon Ads webinar. If you go to selfpublishingformula.com/Amazon webinar, all one word, presented by Ricardo Fiat, who literally wrote the book on Amazon Ads. And that'll be a brand new webinar from us and teaching to help you master and get the best out of Amazon Ads. And I remember reading that book when Ricardo wrote it. And like on page 3, I learned something really important to do with running the auto campaigns. And I put it into action and it immediately worked. So that was quite a breakthrough for me. In fact, that campaign, I could tell you, Mark, is on my first book, Final Flight. It's still running and still profitable since I learned that tip. But I'm going to hold it back. You have to come to the webinar to learn what that tip is. Okay, I think that's it. I think we can get on with the rest of our day and I'll go and pack my bag soon.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, all that remains for me to say is a goodbye from him.
And a goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with The Self-Publishing Show.